So this is the Happy House Hunters. This is our mastermind. And of course, the month of July is all about finding. We start over every 6 months. Every January, we do finding. And then of course, every July, we do finding, because we go through finding and then funding. And funding is always a big one. I don't know which one's bigger than the other, finding the property or funding it once you find it. And then of course, we've got the whole fixing. And finding contractors these days has been really difficult. And I've got some of my projects just kind of on hold, waiting for the contractor to get me to the top of their list. So I get that. So you've got the finding, the funding, the fixing, and then of course, flipping and finding properties these days with the cost out there to have enough room in the deal to flip one is really hard right now, because properties are going for so much more. And again, it's the whole thing. You know, once you fund it, depending on your interest rate, then once you pay a contractor to fix it, is there going to be enough room in the deal to actually flip it? And then fill it. Oh my gosh, I put a property out there for rent and I get 150 applications. And so, and none of them qualify. So how frustrating is that? So, you know, and then finally, you're trying to get to your freedom number, to where, you know, working a job is optional. And so it's just a, you know, a lot of moving parts on the six F's of real estate, but today we're talking all about finding. So I know that Tammy and David just closed on one, and from what I understand, it came with a tenant already in place. Mm-hmm. And, no, it did not. Okay. Well, anyway, I want you to tell us, from the beginning of your search, for those that are listening to this later, the replay, what processes did you go through to actually find this property? How many did you look at before you finally pulled the trigger on this one? And what was your thinking as far as how the numbers were working for you that you decided this was the one?
We have been looking for properties since, I don't know, late last year. So we had something in contract that fell through in December, and I think we've made seven offers so far in 2022, and this one finally stuck. Although she turned down this offer at first and came back a week later and said she was ready to accept our offer.
Okay. So
this one we found on the MLS. I don't remember if we found it or Kyle found it. I don't remember. They all blur together. So
I get it.
I think it came through on your auto email. They just have a standing search set up, and if anything meets their criteria, they get pinged in their email.
True, but I also have searches set up on Trulia and Zillow and Realtor.com, so I get notifications on my phone from all of these random places.
I got to cover your bases.
Exactly.
Then, of course, all those apps learn what it is you look at. So they just start flooding your inbox, whether you have a search or not.
So anyway, we found this one. It's a single family home in Lancaster. Kyle got us in and we did a walkthrough on it. I'll let you talk about the property itself.
Okay. So, yeah, as Tammy mentioned, at first when we put in an offer, so our offer, we offered 89. She was asking 129. So obviously well under asking price because of the things we found during the walkthrough, what we thought we could get for rent. It's just what the number said. I mean, that's what made sense. And we've kind of made our own little internal pact that if we walk a property, we make an offer on it. Because it's just so easy to tell yourself, oh, the seller will never accept that. And then you don't put in the offer that was probably, you know, might have been exactly what they were looking for. You don't make the offer, you never know. So
how important, I think I'm getting a lot of reverb. Is that coming from maybe having a couple of mics off? But anyway, I heard it echoing. I didn't want it to echo in the recording. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now? We hear you.
So I get that, because the numbers have to work for you, you know, because if you overpay for a property, then, you know, you make your money on the front end. You actually decide whether it's going to be profitable enough the day you close. And so the numbers have to work from the very beginning. So I really like that strategy that if you're going to walk a property, you're going to make an offer, even if it's lower than the asking, you're at least in the game. You're at least going to make that offer. So I get that. So good move.
So somewhat amusingly though, on this one, when she initially turned it down, I think we told Kyle, all right, we're done with these, because we'd looked at quite a few that needed some help, but we thought there was room in the deal for us. And we said, all right, we got to go back and reevaluate our approach, because we're just getting turned down right and left. And then this is the one that finally hit a week later.
So what was the conversation when did she call you up? Did she get in touch with Kyle? How did that actually come about?
I believe we both were communicating through our respective realtors.
Okay.
We did have something of a conversation with her when we did the walkthrough, because she was there. But yes, we did not do any direct buyer to seller negotiation. It was all through the realtors.
Okay.
But as we walked the property, we realized it looks really nice on the outside. It's got a brand new roof and it's got brand new siding. But as you get up close, you realize the siding wasn't completed. The soffits weren't, nothing was touched with any of the soffits. There's plenty of just open holes the birds are getting into up under the porch roof and even into the crawl spaces and the main structure. There's a cellar area, it's under an addition. The rest of the house sits on a crawl space, but it's not properly sealed. And one of the holes was just plugged up with a bale of straw, which was just a wide open invitation to termites. And sure enough, they found it. So there's some termite damage. And we took all that into consideration and decided that it's going to need about $40,000 worth of rehab before we can put renters in there. Her 129 is probably about right if it didn't need all that work, if it was turnkey. And then we think we have an ARV, should be right around 155. And there's some good comps because several houses just right on the block have sold nicer. Well, there's one that's on the market right now at 185, one two doors down that sold at 165. 165 is a nicer house, but I think our 155 ARV is probably a pretty solid number.
So you really did your homework on this one, going through the numbers, which is, that's the answer. When you're an investor, that is definitely the answer. You have to do your homework on the numbers or you get in upside down rather quickly if you find problems that you didn't know were there. Did you round your numbers up or did you take into consideration any room for error of something popping up that you didn't notice?
I would say yes. I'm hoping the rehab, I expect to be between 20 and 40, unfortunately, and it's already creeping closer to the 40, but you know, it has a way of doing that.
So you gave yourself a little bit of room for that to happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, 40 is not my, I hope this is what it costs number. It's my, it shouldn't exceed number.
Okay. So tell us about the house. How many bedrooms? What kind of rent do you think you're going to get with the kind of numbers that you paid for it?
So we initially thought we could get around 1100 in rent. Actually, somebody thought it would be 1,000. Somebody else thought it would be 1,100. So 1050 was the number we truly played with.
Okay.
But it's an old farmhouse. It's got two rooms upstairs that are obviously the bedrooms. The bathroom is actually in this little addition. It's kind of a bathroom laundry room. It's truly a three-quarter bathroom because it's just a stand-up shower, no tub. And then there's the laundry room is in there also. And then downstairs, it has a large eat-in kitchen, a living room, and then another room. So that is actually what she's using as a bedroom. Our goal is to just make that make sense as a bedroom. We'll play with the different entrances to it so that we can offer it as a 3-bed, 1-bath. But it could also be a 2-bed with an office. Mm-hmm. Could be a 2-bed with a drawing room if you feel fancy.
Now, is there a closet in the downstairs
there bedroom? There is. Yep.
Okay, so it could actually officially be a bedroom with a closet.
It does have a closet, yes.
Yeah, so that does make it official if you want to use that as a bedroom. So good choice. And so with that, you now have options for rental. Is it on an area of town where there's a draw?
So it is a block and a half from the hospital in this
Definitely a draw.
Yep. Little neighborhood that's tucked back behind some restaurants and businesses right off of Main Street. So there's some tree lines and things. Wasn't conscious of the fact this neighborhood even existed. We've certainly seen it from different angles, but this house is the first time that we've ever really been back there to look at this neighborhood. And we're just surprised to find out what's nestled back here, kind of surrounded by the hospital and these other little businesses. So I think it looks like a very attractive rental neighborhood.
Good choice. Good choice. Now, I do have a question. We see that we've got, of course, Kyle is on board with us. And Chris, we see you're there. Hello, Chris. Can you hear us okay?
Hey.
Hey, good to see you. I don't see your face. I see your name, but we see you're there. So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, sorry. I'm working.
I get it. Not a problem. But I just wanted to stop long enough to welcome you there. I had a thought. Now, I've been doing my research on long-term rentals versus mid-term rentals versus short-term rentals. And the formula that I'm discovering is that once you determine what a long-term rental will bring in, if you're in the right neighborhood, a mid-term rental will bring in about twice that amount, and a short-term rental will bring in about 4 times that amount. Mm. Now, of course, as the income goes up, so does the work.
Sure.
So it depends on how passive you want it to be. But because you are close to the hospital and because you're in Lancaster, which is just a stone's throw from Hocking Hills, you could have the option on this one to do long-term, mid-term, or short-term, depending on how much work you wanted to do in that one and how upscale you wanted to make it. You actually are wide open for all kinds of options there.
Well, interesting that you should mention how passive we want to be. Because this one, we're actually looking to, put under management. So we've been self-managing all of our other units, and we'll continue to. We're not putting the whole portfolio, but we thought, all right, you talked about it coming with a tenant. It's not actually the tenant. The seller is still living there. And even though we closed on Thursday, she's got until this coming Sunday to vacate. So she's still there. We'll be interested to see how well a job she does at getting out, because she's a little bit of a disorganized hoarder. So she's got a lot of work ahead of her.
Wow. And it's just her?
It's just her. So yeah, we can tell a lot of stories about her too, but we'll keep going with the property for now.
I love it. Now, is there a way, with showing up with solutions instead of problems, is there a way that you have some solutions to help her move out, like a referral for a 2 men in a truck or something? Or does she pretty well have that handled, do you think?
So we offered her the opportunity to rent from us for up to 3 months if 10 days was not enough for her to get out. That was our solution.
At holding costs.
At just our holding costs.
Which is a great opportunity for her.
Yeah.
Into a pickle. Yeah.
Yeah. She declined that offer already. And I don't know if Kyle wants, he can speak more to this, but I feel like her realtor is going above and beyond for her, trying to get her into her new property and trying to get her some assistance to get to her new location.
Now, she already has a place to go, am I correct?
She is in contract on a place.
Ah, but she hasn't closed yet.
Sorry, my phone dropped off for a moment.
We're asking if the seller in Tammy and David's deal has closed on her new property yet, where it is that she's going to.
I don't have an answer for that because, of course, the realtor that she used to sell her house down here is different than the realtor she's using because she's moving several hours away.
But
from what I recall from the conversation, she does have a son who was supposed to come and help her.
Okay. So she's actually moving several hours away. And so she's working with two different realtors, a realtor that's selling this property. And then the place that she's going to is yet a third realtor.
Right.
Okay. So there's three of you involved in two different deals.
And it's definitely questionable how.
I believe so. She's an interesting gal.
There you go. We don't want to say anything too.
I get it.
Too much about her on a recorded Zoom.
I understand.
Some evening over beers, we'll have an interesting conversation.
Okay, but the point is that. You know, when you're in this business and you're buying and selling, and you need to always come with solutions instead of more problems. And it sounds like you have some solutions. Now, even though she's turned down your offer, depending on, you know, we all know how closings can get delayed and we all know how that works. And so it could be that she'll circle back around and say, I'm going to have to take you up on your offer.
Well, and to be honest, we fully expect that she's not going to be out of the house by this coming Sunday. We did a final walkthrough on Wednesday and she made comments about, you know, having been working hard to get everything organized and I couldn't tell you one thing that had moved. So I fully expect that we are going to be looking for solutions and dealing with that. What we really don't want to end up in and fear is that at some point, maybe it becomes illegal.
Right. Is she an older gal by chance?
Older than us, but she's not, I wouldn't call her elderly yet.
Okay. So, but it sounds like, you know, she's moving closer to her son maybe. And yes. So there's all those things. So anyway, it could be that she's just counting on her son to, you know, save the day. Like when he shows up, he'll get it all done, you know. And those of us that have moved stuff in and out more recently know that it takes more time than that to get that volume of stuff moved.
Right.
So it could be she just doesn't have a realistic view of what it's going to take to actually move that volume of stuff.
And I think there's truth to that. So, but we just don't know the extent of it yet.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you have a good mindset about it because again, that's where things get frustrating. And I like the saying, and I go back to this a lot. It says, if you didn't get what you expected wrong. And so, and so you're expecting this to go past her deadline. So that means you won't be as frustrated when it does go past the deadline, because you're already expecting it to go past the deadline. So that's good on your part.
We are expecting her to go past the deadline. However, we also know we have a lot of work. So we have some contractors lined up and we need her to at least to clean up some things and start moving things out so that our contractors can start their jobs.
Yeah.
Now, what is your first project at that house?
Well, the very first step is getting rid of the termites.
Okay. So, now they could do that without her moving anything
They're scheduled for this coming Tuesday.
Okay. And can I ask
for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's Tuesday. Yeah. And can I ask who you chose to do your termites?
You may.
Wells Pest Control, because we've used them before.
Okay.
We ended up with Wells. Okay.
I think so.
Okay. They are on my list for termites. I've had a mouse infestation at one of mine, and so I ended up using Wells, and they took care of the mice, and they did a nice job. We haven't had any issues since. So they found where they were coming in, and they closed that all up, and so they did a nice job.
We used them for yellow jackets. We had a bunch of yellow jackets living under siding at a property, and they got rid of them in one visit, and the tenants seemed happy with them. So we decided seemed like a good enough review.
Yes. Well, for those of you that are listening in to the recording later that are in the mastermind, they are in our resource center, their contact information. So if you're needing any type of situation where you have termites or mice or bees or yellow jackets, whatever you have going on, Wells is in our list of resources. Okay, so termites is first, and then what order are you doing your projects in?
Well, so the other, trying to get commitments from the other contractors. So I did mention that we're going to have this one managed, the management company. So I told you also at the beginning that we were looking at between $1,000 and $1,100 for the rent. The management company and the owner of that company actually looked at this property and was trying to acquire it through some very creative means. It was going to be exchanging an apartment and buying her a car in exchange for keys to the house.
Oh, wow.
So that didn't go through. In the end, he ended up backing out of, or somebody backed out of that. But he's thinking that it's so, gosh, he needs to finish a whole sentence. He's very familiar with the property and thinks it can rent for $1,300.
Ah.
So if he actually—
And that's his long term. That's interesting.
That is. And if he can get what he says, then he'll actually more than pay for himself just in the increased rent.
Now, how did you find a management company? I know that's down the road for me at some point. And for all of us, you know, you can manage your own stuff for a while, but there's going to come a time when you're 90 and you're not going to manage your own stuff. How did you go about finding a management company? What was your criteria?
Well, networking.
Okay.
So other meetups. He's somebody who,
somebody in one of our other regular meetups that we see monthly. He seems to be doing a great job. So we decided to go with him.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've actually taken advice from him on other things before. So we're, you know, they're very familiar with him as a person and like him personally, like his approach to business. So feel comfortable that at least he's going to start the same way we would.
I get it. I just came off of my Build a Better Business call and we just had a whole conversation about the know, like, and trust factor before you start spending your money with someone. And I think you do have to kind of get to know, like, and these networking meetups for investors is perfect because you do get a sense and a feel for how these people do business. And it does make you feel that you can trust them when you want to, you know, hand off your investments. So can you share who you're using for the resource center for those of us that are maybe looking at?
I mean, I can tell you, but we haven't actually used them. So I don't know that I'm quite ready to recommend them.
I get it. All right. So he is in Lancaster. So he does the Lancaster market. Okay. Because there are several of us that have properties there. All right. So you've got the management company. You're going to get the termites taken care of. You can do that whether she's there or not.
Right.
And what is your biggest project that you have to do on this property?
Well, the biggest is probably just the cosmetic. So I say for the most part, the property needs major cosmetic. She has a lot of things that were done. Like I said, she had the siding redone, but the siding was never finished. So another of the contractors that I have lined up, well, that I haven't gotten a commitment date on, but they've come out to look at is to get all the soffits done and finish wrapping and trimming what the siding didn't finish. Interior, I said, has a large eat-in kitchen. It was obvious that at one point it was divided into two rooms, a small kitchen, small dining room. She had the wall taken out. It's so obvious because nothing was done to fill that gap.
Okay.
They didn't paint the gap. They didn't plaster the gap. They just put cabinets right over top of the gap, refrigerator in front of it on one side, and then it just blatantly goes right across the ceiling.
Interesting. So again, so you just need to tidy that up and make it look intentional.
Right.
Yeah.
And then upstairs, there's holes in the drywall. You can see, you know, right into the crawl spaces. So there's a significant amount of work that'll need to be done up. So I've been calling it major cosmetic.
Okay.
structurally, I do need to get somebody out to finish assessing the damage that the termites have done. It's obvious that some repair has been done to that area, but I saw the bugs, they were still there. So,
yeah, you got to get rid of the termites first before you can firm up those beams.
Exactly.
I get it. Yep, I get it. Well, it sounds like you've got a pretty good handle on what needs to be done, and you've got some options on helping her to move on. And of course, she's in limbo until she can close on her other place, you know, because she has no place to take all that stuff to.
Exactly.
So I get that. And it's great news that you're willing to work with her, but you do have these contractors waiting in the wing. So now it's this balancing act. I get it. But congratulations. This is a good one, I think. I think the numbers are working for you because you were diligent in your offer. I think this is a great success story. Kyle, what can you add to this particular project?
Well, I know the whole theme this month is finding. So actually, while we were there touring this property, we saw two other homes on the street that were listed for sale. One of them was on the MLS, so we scheduled the showing and went through that immediately. And the other one was just a FSBO across the street. And I've since tried to find that FSBO, and she's not marketing it anywhere. She's not on FSBO.com. She's not on Realtor or Zillow. She's not on Craigslist. And she's not even on public Facebook. Tammy sent me a link, and the only place this lady is marketing it is in a private closed Facebook group online. So if you're trying to find deals, so driving for dollars, you know, is how we found that property, but she's really doing a really poor job marketing her property. So that reinforces the driving for dollars concept.
You found it because she had a sign out front. Am I right?
Just a sign in the front yard. Yep. We went up and knocked on the door.
Now, does she live there? Was anyone there?
She was living there. She was still finishing up some painting and stuff. She didn't want to have us come in until it was all said and done.
Interesting. Well, and it could be that maybe she's not ready to.
But I've been trying to find it online. It's impossible to find.
Well, it could be that she's not aggressively marketing it if she doesn't feel like she's ready to show it yet.
Well, that was about 6 or so weeks ago when we knocked on the door. So I think she is ready to sell it now because it is in a private Facebook group, but that seems to be the only place she's marketing it. So yeah, if you are looking to find something, driving for dollars definitely is one effective method.
Okay, so now you found this cute little neighborhood tucked away in a place that you didn't think to look, and now Tammy and David have a deal. There's one across the street, and there's another one a few doors down, all in this same little neighborhood. Yeah, that's wonderful that, you know, you're finding those. And again, finding is the tough part, trying to find stuff that, you know, that makes the numbers work. So I get that. So good job, guys. Good job. Kyle, can you share with us? And we're going to move on over to Joe and Michelle. And can you tell us, Kyle, a little background about how they found their house in Whitehall?
That was also an MLS discovery on one of their auto searches that they've got set up for things that match their parameters.
Okay, so
they were looking for something that already had a tenant in place, you know, already generating revenue and income, and the house was in really good shape. It was nicely updated. It was obviously turnkey, somebody living there. And when we crunched the numbers, all the numbers made sense for them, so.
Okay, so they were looking at what they were gonna spend and then what the rent was that was coming in, and then how much was going to be any of the rehab, if any. Did they have to do any rehab on this one since it's already tenant occupied?
No rehab. The appraisal did come back and ask for two things to be repaired. One of the bedroom doors was missing a knob, so they had to install a new bedroom doorknob. And the furnace, or sorry, not.
Oh, we lost you, Kyle.
The furnace, the stove was installed, and it's a gas stove. So somebody had obviously turned the wall a little bit. So we had to install a heat shield there just to prevent the wall from scorching any further.
which good thing they noticed that. Of course, with tenants, tenants may not pay that much attention to something like that. So that's a good thing. So good choice for them. And it, does it cash flow, or is this a long-term investment where they're waiting for it to cash flow down the road?
It is cash flowing, good enough for them to decide to move forward on the project. And that neighborhood is also on the upward swing too. So it's going to be a good long-term investment too for equity.
So the next question, I'm sure you did your look while you were there. Anything else in that neighborhood, like in Tammy and David's neighborhood?
Yeah, actually, the house next door is burned out. It had fire damage. So I have been attempting to reach out to the owners there because Joe and Michelle expressed interest in acquiring that property too.
Yes, because Joe has the skill set that he could fix that. Now,
right.
The problem with fire damage, for those of you that are on the call, the problem with the fire damage is that oftentimes then you get involved in all the city politics because the city doesn't want to be responsible for how you put that house back together and to make sure it's safe. And so they require all the permits and all the inspections and all, you know, and now you've got somebody in and out of your property every week. They have to sign off on everything that you do to that property. Mark and I have pursued a couple of fire damaged ones and we passed because of that. Because you have a pretty big cost on the front end of all of the permits and inspections because the city wants to make sure that they're not held liable if that roof falls in later because it's had fire damage. So they want to make sure that you cross all your T's and dot all your I's. And it's not that you're not going to make it safe. It's just you have to jump through all the hoops as you're making it safe. It's just a whole extra layer of something you have to do. Whereas if the house didn't have fire damage, you wouldn't have the city in your back pocket every day. So that's just something to keep in mind. It depends on how much fire damage. Did it go all the way through the roof, Kyle?
I don't think the roof was damaged, but you know, they've got it boarded up, so we really couldn't see inside very much, but some of the siding had melted.
Okay. And it could be that one's still in the throes of insurance. You know, if the people living there had insurance on it, which they probably did, I can't say that for sure, it could still be in the throes of the insurance company releasing it. So there's all kinds of things to think about on a fire damaged one, but hey, it's always worth a look, you know, because again, properties are hard to find and not everybody is interested in getting a fire damaged one, depending on how much damage. There was one in Lancaster, it was a 4-unit. I don't know if you remember this story. It was a 4-unit on Wheeling Street, just at the edge of that whole, you know, what is it called? That block 13 or whatever.
Oh, the old preservation district or historic district.
And one unit had a kitchen fire. And when the owner, now this house had new windows, it had a new roof, it looked really nice. The siding was in great shape. From the outside, you couldn't tell a thing was wrong. And it was a fourplex. And when the owner, I know the owner personally, when the owner went to get his permits and everything he had to go through and the amount of time it was going to take him, and he wasn't allowed to occupy he couldn't even occupy the other 3 units until that one was finished. Because they were concerned about, you know, smoke damage or whatever or water damage throughout the whole building. He ended up bulldozing the whole building down. It was cheaper for him to start over than it was for him to rehab that one. And we just scratch our heads because we're like, it wouldn't have taken that much to fix that unit. But he said it wasn't what it was going to take him to fix it. It was the red tape he had to go through. And because it was preservation district, he had to get permission for every little bolt and screw that he used. And he had to get permission for everything that he did. And it was this 6-week waiting period in between everything he had to do. He said it was going to take him years to rehab that one unit. And it just wasn't worth it to him. So he started selling out parts and pieces of the building before he bulldozed it down. And that's where we got all of our windows. He sold us all they were 3-year-old windows, and Mark bought enough to build my greenhouse out back. He bought enough to close in our side porch, and he had enough windows to redo that entire unit in Sandusky that he had to do lead abatement on those windows. So he got enough windows out of that fourplex that we did like 3 different projects with those windows. And the only criteria was Mark had to go take them out. And so he got all those windows. So there's some good deals out there. It just depends on which side of the deal you're on. We got a good deal on windows. So anyway, so there's all kinds of things going on. But anyway, that's a good one though, Kyle, to keep an eye on that one with the fire damage. Anything else in that neighborhood?
Actually, one of our other members, Debbie Agee, she has a rental over there that okay. she was considering selling earlier this year because the home values over there have gone up. She's only owned it for a couple of years, but the home values have done so well over there, she considered selling it. But then she was able to rent it for even more than she expected. So she went ahead and jumped on another rental.
So she decided to continue on the rental. Okay. Yep. Perfect. 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 I just love it to see, you know, our members are our movers and shakers. They're getting stuff done. I love that. Love that. We're still waiting on ours in Hocking Hills to get the well. We've been on the guy's list since April. Of course, we've wow. heard that that's the issue. The folks that originally put this home together back in the day put an underground water tank in because they decided they weren't going to wait to get a well drilled to live there. They couldn't wait that long. And so they put an underground water tank in. So we've rehabbed the property. It's been painted. It's been cleaned up. We've had new gutters put on, all fresh paint everywhere. We moved the water pump for this underground tank up into the laundry room. It was underneath the house in a crawl space, and it freezes all the time and cracks the pump. So Mark went and picked up another pump. I think it was, I don't know, $300 for a new pump. And he put it up in the laundry room. So now it's in heated space. And then he just ran the water line down into the tank. And so now he put heat tape on of course the heat tape's not on this time of year, but he's got it wrapped in heat tape for when cold weather comes. And so the gal, we went ahead and rented it. The gal paid for a full year of rent. She was changing a lot in her life and in her career. Her fiance had just passed away with a brain tumor. And so she was in a real transitional time in her life. And she had been living in his parents' rental, and they wanted her out once the fiance passed away because they wanted to put the house on the market. So they wanted her out, and she really had nowhere to go. And so she said, because she got, you know, some funds from his passing, she said, I just want to pay a year's rent so that's off my plate and I can just concentrate on, you know, emotionally getting back up to par and getting back to work. And because she quit her job and took care of him for 3 years. So now she's getting back into the workforce. And she said, I've got cash, but I can't prove income. See, so a lot of people wouldn't rent to her. She had this cash, but she didn't have a monthly income. And so we knew her personally, we knew the story, we know the family. So we rented to her and she paid us a full year. And she's content using the water tank. She just calls and has it filled up every 6 weeks or whatever. And so she's not pushing us to get the well in, but we'd feel better if there were an actual well there instead of having to have water delivered. We're just concerned about water sitting in that tank, you know? And so we did have it in the lease that she is not to consume any of the water out of the tank for cooking or drinking. She has to bring in bottled water for that. And so she got one of those 5-gallon cooler kind of things. And so she uses that for her cooking and drinking. And she uses the water tank underground for laundry and showers and that sort of thing. So that's how we've solved it for now, but we'll feel better once there's a well there. And that'll cut her costs because she doesn't have to have water delivered and she doesn't have to bring in bottled water for drinking or cooking. And so that would cut her cost. And it just makes us feel better that it's going to be a safer option. Now, of course, we'll have the well tested as well once there's a well. Having a well and a septic is not my favorite kind of property. I usually stay away from wells and septics for that reason, because, you know, you always have, not always, but there's more probable issues that you yourself as the owner are responsible for. Whereas if you're in a city property and there's problems with the water or the sanitation, it's the city's problem, not generally yours, unless you have a pipe clogged up or something. But as far as the quality of the water or whatever is not generally the landlord's issue, it becomes the city's issue. So that's why I stay away from wells and septics. But this deal was in Hocking Hills. And again, we were talking where a long-term rental, you can come up with that price, and then you could midterm rent it for twice the price and short-term rent it for four times the price. So our ultimate plan is we wanted to help her out on one hand, because, you know, her ex-in-laws, you know, once her fiance passed away, I'll call them her in-laws, wanted the property back so they could sell it. And she didn't really have a place to go without having proof of income. And so we wanted to help her out since we knew her, but it also gave us a year, because she wanted to pay a full year. It gave us a year, as I say, to work the bugs out, you know. Since then, we found out that some of her spouting was leaking in the wrong place. We found out that that pump freezes under, you know, underneath in the crawl space instead of up in the unit. So it's things that we're fixing as we discover them. Whereas if you had it as a short-term rental in Hocking Hills, the price would be great, but you can't have a family down there on vacation and then end up having these issues. Because again, number one, they'd give you a horrible review and they'd want all their money back, and they'd want you to put them in another place, you know, for their vacation. And so this is, it's really a perfect segue for us to go, you know, from purchasing something that you really don't know what you have until you get in there, to giving us a year to work out any issues or problems and to get that well put in. Before we start doing it as a short-term rental. And there's enough property there that we could add, and we've already checked the zoning, and we can add two more units on that same property. And so we could turn it into a nice little short-term rental place, escape, you know, down the road. So that's our plan. So that's what we have going on. So we've heard from David and Tammy, and Kyle told us and brought us up to speed on Joe and Michelle. And Chris, I know you're working, but how about you? Can you share what's going on with you currently and where you're at in your projects?
I'll try to. all right. So the big project, 22nd Street, it's on the market. Got a bunch of nibbles, no real bites. We're working through stuff. I am actually meeting Kyle's relative is how I'll put it, who's a general contractor, on Thursday.
Okay. And
so we'll play it at both ends and see where it goes.
So you're working on it on one end, but you've got it on the market if somebody comes along and takes it off your hands.
Yep, for the right price, and that price has not come up yet.
Okay. Now, this is the one that has the sewer drain issue. Am I correct?
Yeah. And that's not the main issue. Why it's, I think it's the amount of work that's scaring everyone away. Wouldn't you say, Kyle?
Yeah, it's totally ripped down to the studs and everything. And you know, I think everyone's aware of the contractor backlog and the supply chain issues.
Yeah. I think my main issue with the property is not the property itself, it's the contractors. I've had three plumbers bail on me.
That just boggles my mind, because the walls are opened up, the plumbing would be actually easy.
I have the permits approved, drawings approved, and literally, like, I think it was like 15 minutes before the guy's like, oh, sorry, can't do it. I'm like, what do you mean? Like,
what was his reasoning that he couldn't do it?
He didn't give me one. It was over text.
So he just kind of canceled on you over a text message, said, sorry, I can't do your project.
Yep.
Ouch. Yeah.
And then he wouldn't answer me. So I was just like, frustration. So I'm hoping this works out. If not, I'll.
So because you've got the permits and all of that, what I'm hearing is that you have to have a licensed plumber, because you're replacing or whatever, a lot of the plumbing. So it comes under the licensing. You couldn't have a handyman come in there and work unless he was under the supervision of a licensed plumber.
Correct.
Okay. As an owner, can you do it yourself? Not that you have time, but would you be allowed to?
Not for plumbing or electrical. The building permit stuff, I can take responsibility for it or do it myself, but not electrical or plumbing.
Okay, so those two things, you have to have a licensed plumber or a licensed electrician.
Yeah.
Wow. And of all the plumbers out there, how many have you tried that have not come through?
Oh, I lost count. too many. There's, wow. I've called, I don't know, a lot, and most do not answer. Or when you leave a message, they don't call you back. Once, I think a small percent will say, sorry, I don't have time. And then the ones you can get an appointment for, half of those don't show up.
It's like us with our well. We've had it on the list, and we've already paid him $5,000 towards the well drilling, and it's been since April, and we haven't heard from him. It's like he's ghosted us since the $5,000 went in. So yeah. I get it.
So, I mean, any contractors I'm going forward with, because I had the guy who was doing a bunch of small-term stuff, like he lost his whole crew, and I need to find a replacement for all that kind of stuff. I'm going to have a contract with whoever I work with from now on, just to get that out there.
Not a legal binding contract that you both sign.
Yep. I think that's the only solution I have right now.
Well, good to know for those of us that are getting ready to go down that road. Good to know. I do have a legal binding signed contract with the well driller. And of course, David and Tammy's getting ready to venture out on some big projects on theirs. So I get it. And this seems to be the biggest frustration of investors at the moment is the whole contractor's issue.
Hey, Kathy, would you mind sharing a copy of your well contract just so I have some idea of what that looks like? Because it seems like something I might want to go for.
It's just a one page proposal on everything he proposes to do and for the price. And then at the end, he had signed the proposal. And then at the end, we had to sign it accepting his proposal, which then made it a legal binding contract. And we had to resubmit it back to him with our $5,000 deposit.
Did you put a timeline on that?
I did not. And because, and again, I can see where that's an issue because we had this underground water tank, we weren't too concerned about a timeline.
Okay.
Never dreaming, though, that, you know, it would take this long, because originally he said, we contacted him back in January and he said, yeah, I'm booking now for April. And we're like, okay. And then April came and went. And then he said, well, I'll get to you in May. Well, then May came and went. And then this girl wanted to move in June. And he said, well, I'll definitely get to you before she moves in. Well, she moved in June 15th. And then he said, well, I'll be sure and have it done by the end of June. Well, now we're on what, July? And he still hasn't shown up. So yeah, we're starting to get a little concerned. We're trying not to, but we are. We're getting a little concerned about, you know, what is the deal? And it, again, because we had this water tank, it didn't occur to us that we needed to have a deadline because we're thinking, well, so what if it takes him a couple, 3 months? You know, We've got water down there. If we wanted to paint and clean and do whatever, we had water in the water tank, and families have lived there for over, you know, 5 years just using the water tank. So we thought, worst case scenario, we'll just get the tank filled a couple times until the well gets in. So, and then Mark went ahead and moved the pump and replumbed the water tank so it didn't freeze. Just in case, but anyhow, so we're just sitting tight. So we don't know at this point. And if they're that busy, I hate to, you know, be the thorn in their side, you know, but it's frustrating. And here's what I found with contractors and tell me if you guys maybe think this way too. Some of them that are really good at what they do are really bad at communication. You know, and they're just out doing what they do instead of sitting in the office. You know, it's kind of like the doctor with the poor bedside manner. You hate to throw the doctor away if he's the best one, you know, for what you need just because he has a poor bedside manner. So you hate to get rid of a contractor. We hear the well company we chose is the best in the area, but their communication is terrible. If they just called us up and said, you're still on the list, we would go, okay, we'd be good for another 6 weeks.
I'd say we definitely have found that also, Kathy. I mean, if you can go with the large national brands, and you'll get all that customer service and whatnot and the quick response that you expect, but you pay for it. And unfortunately, as an investor, you can't afford it. So you have to sacrifice that, what we're finding anyway, you got to sacrifice some of that that communication and just be ready and willing to bird dog your contractors so that you can get a price where your numbers work.
Now, what I found that kind of works for me is, and I haven't gotten this out of the well guys yet, but what kind of works for me is on my HVAC guys and my electrical guys and my plumbing guys, I just ask them, I go, I know you guys are busy. I know you don't want me pestering you and calling the office, you know, every other day. What is the best way that I can just get a thumbs up that I'm still on your list? And for most of them, they give me their private cell number and they go, if you promise not to blow up my cell phone, just type status and I'll give you an answer. And so I'm finding that that works because these guys are out. They're out doing what they do. You know, they're not sitting in the office and answering, you know, the phone as it comes in all the time. And if they do have a wife or a girl or a staff member that's taking the phone calls, they oftentimes don't know anything because my carpet cleaning guy, I love him to death. He does an amazing job at steam cleaning my carpets between tenants. If it's a carpet I think I can save, I'll have him steam clean it first before I decide if I'm going to replace it or not. And 9 times out of 10, I don't have to replace it once he's done. He does such a good job. But his wife is his answering machine. And when I call to schedule a carpet cleaning, she can't hear. She doesn't remember who I am. She asked me my name 5 times. She asked me to spell it 10 times. And I'm thinking if I were a new customer, I would go, what kind of an outfit is this? But because I know his work is so good, I hang in there and I kind of humor her to get through the booking process just to get him. And so sometimes that's the advantage of building a team, because you know, like, and trust the job that's going to get done. So you're willing to put up with some of that stuff when you know the end result. But boy, is it tough when you don't have that and you're just trying to sort through and wade through and get some folks that'll even answer your call or show up. So I get it. It's a tough situation and we're all in it right now.
Great.
So Chris, how are you hanging in there at large? I mean, with all of this, are you hanging in there okay?
Yeah. I just don't like my plans getting out of control. You know, I like planning. I'm futuristic type of person.
I get it.
So it's just kind of, you know, it's not moving forward projects. So it's frustrating there, but we're coming out with solutions. In the meantime, I'm over at my other unit on Wayne. I had my first person move out. She left a mess. Pretty sure she never cleaned anything.
Now, is it damaged or just messy?
Damage. There's some damage there. So there's furniture, a king size bed left. I think a whole wardrobe of kids' clothes. You name it, it's probably there. And I need to add up do the math, but it's probably enough that might justify small claims court.
Well, and again, you have to make those decisions on how you're going to run your business, but. Again, my guess is when you have folks like that, sometimes they just don't have the means to move some of that stuff. It's not stuff that they even really want to leave behind, like the wardrobe or the bed, but it could be in the amount of time that she was moving out, she just didn't have the help. I'm sure that getting help to move furniture is probably hard to come by as well.
And she just
didn't have the help.
Yeah, she knew well over 3 months in advance. Because this is the tenant that was working through Impact, which I still haven't received that rent from Impact yet.
Wow.
So I reached out to him last week and I still haven't heard anything.
Did they give you any indication on the time frame that it normally takes?
If I remember right, which I didn't believe it, it was like 2 to 3 months, and that's passed.
Seems like Adrian's might have been on Impact. Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, on his tenant Tammy, yes, Impact. And he waited a long time before that rent came in. But it did finally come. He did get his check.
Well, I mean, as I see it right now, right, the tenant hasn't paid. And I know we're going through this process, but technically the tenant's still responsible right now.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
So is that justifiable in small?
Because they're the ones that signed the lease. So, yep, I get that. I get that.
I haven't been pushing on it. So I'm going to clean it up, see what the damages are. There's a broken window. So I'm going to see I'm going to add everything up and see if it's worth it or not.
And again, that's all you can do is just look at your numbers. I've had several. My biggest one, and again, you got to be careful burning bridges. My biggest one was a friend of my daughter and son-in-law's, and they wanted to rent one of my houses, and because they wanted to get out of an apartment, so I agreed, and they rented the house, and I did not put new carpet in or whatever in between tenants, and so they said, by the way, we've got a dog. Well, the tenants that had been there had a dog that came with the property, so I thought, well, I haven't put carpet or anything in, so okay. So they brought their dog. Well, then he said, can I put a fenced in area in the back? So when we let the dogs out, we don't want to chain them up. We'd rather just let them out in a yard. Can I fence that in? And I said, well, yeah. I said, but if you ever move, I said, depending on what the fence looks like, you might have to take it back down. He goes, well, yeah, because if I move, I want to take it with me. I said, okay. So he put up a fence and the dogs were out there. Well, of course, the dogs made a muddy mess in that section of the fence, inside the fence, because they would just run there and they made it really muddy. And then when he left, he moved out in February, and the fence looked terrible because it was kind of a handmade fence. And I said, well, you'll have to take the fence out. And he goes, all right, I'll take care of it. So he moves out, we go over, and there's all of this trash out in front of the house where everything they didn't want, they didn't bag it. They just threw it out there. It wasn't bagged up. It was just piled out in the yard in the front. And they sawed the fence off about an inch above the grass line in the back. And I said, what is that about? And he goes, well, he said the ground was frozen and I couldn't pull them out. So he said, I just cut them off. Well, nobody was going to be able to mow. Not that there was any grass to mow anyway. So anyway, I had another tenant because I usually flip a house in a couple of days. So I called and got my guy, it went in and painted the whole thing. The carpet company went and recarpeted everything. My cleaning lady went in, cleaned everything. And now the inside was ready to go. And so then on the outside, I had a landscape company come by and they put a chain and, of course, the big enough truck and a chain. And of course, not everybody has a truck and a chain, but with a big enough truck and a chain, they could pull those posts out. So they had to hand dig down around to get the chain far enough down to grip the post, and they pulled them out of there. And then I had, I don't know how many yards of topsoil brought in to that area where it was just a mud pit. And then we got it all leveled. And then of course, in the spring we seeded it. And all in all, it was like $8,000 I couldn't charge him for the carpeting because of course it was used carpet when he moved in. I didn't charge him for the painting because again, wear and tear of a renter being there for 2 or 3 years. And all I charged him for was to put the backyard back together and to haul out his trash because by then he had canceled his trash pickup. And then the trash pickup city said, no, you have to go and either put it all in a can or bag it up or whatever. So I just called, you know, one of those independent trash people, and two guys came out with a truck and a trailer, and in about 45 minutes, they had it all cleaned up and whatever that cost me, I don't know, $200 or whatever. Anyway, all in all, he absolutely refused to pay. He said that was ridiculous, that if I would have waited until spring, he would have done all of that. Well, this is February. I'm going to wait till April or May for him to come and put in the meantime, what, that property just sits there? I mean, what, I had a tenant that was ready to move in and they're going to live there with trash in the yard and a mud pit in the back. And so I said, well, I couldn't leave it that long. I said, so anyway, this is what the invoice was. So to your point, Chris, I did not file in small claims, but what, it was enough that I could have, but I did not. And so the other day I hire a company to mow my grass. And the other day I look out and it's this guy on the mower. mowing my grass at my house. And I'm like, boy, am I glad I didn't piss him off. He might throw rocks through my window. So you never know what comes around. So you have to really kind of decide if it's worth it or not, and how much it is, and whether it's worth it to, you know, to go after some of that. But I get it. I understand your point. It was very frustrating at the time because, again, I had to line all that up and get all that done. And I'm running an ad, and I'm receiving applications, and I'm, you know, reviewing people's background checks, trying to decide who I'm going to put in there next. And I'm dealing with him on his way out as I'm dealing with the new person on their way in, and all the contractors in between to do the carpet and the painting and the yard and the trash. And so you get it. It's, you know, it's what it is. And so, yeah, it's just, it's one of those stories when you look back, you're like, interesting how that played out.
So you know, your recommendation is to suck up $4,000 to $6,000 worth of rent damages and everything.
No, mine was not anywhere near that. I'm just saying that you have to look at the big picture, and if it's the criteria is, if it's going to cost you more to pursue it than what you're going to get, it's probably not worth it. But in your case, there's two things that you could actually file for the damages in small claims court. And then there's a second filing where you can garnish their wages, even if they have no wages, because at some point, if they do come into any money, you get to be first on the list if you're filed. And so for that amount of money, I would probably make a filing.
Yeah. I mean, filing in small claims court, I looked it up. It wasn't much. It was less than $100.
No, it's like $125 or something like that to file a claim. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
To file a claim. And what that does is it kind of puts it on their record to where, but you have to take the next step. Just filing it, they're going to award it to you. But if she doesn't have it, what's the point? But then if you take the next step, and I don't know if it's a garnishment, if she doesn't have income, but there's a next step that if she comes into any money, like a tax return refund or an inheritance or the sale of something, if she comes into any income, you get dibs on it.
You don't remember what that's called?
I do not. You'll have to check maybe with an attorney that does that sort of work, because it's been a lot of years ago. Mark had filed against a tenant. This was before he and I even met. And the attorney said, let's file this next step. And Mark was like, okay. And then forgot about it. And it went probably 5 years, and Mark gets a check in the mail. And Mark is like, he called the attorney and he says, what's this for? And the attorney said, that was that filing you did 5 years ago. And the guy got a tax return back this year. So you get it.
Was that a garnishment?
It was a form of garnishment, but the guy did not have earned income. So it wasn't a wage garnishment, but it was something like that. And I don't know exactly what it was. Because again, I didn't know Mark then. And so I don't know. And Mark didn't remember. But it was 5 years later, Mark got a check, which was kind of, he'd forgotten all about it by then. And he had actually called the attorney and said, what is this for? Why did I get its check? And the attorney said, that was from your tenant. He said he finally came into some money and you got a piece of it, because we had filed that, whatever that form was. So research that and find out what that is, because it would be worth it for that sizable of an account. But again, usually if it's under $1,000,
I wouldn't bother if it was under.
I usually don't bother if it's under $1,000.
Yeah, but this stuff, you know, adds up.
Now the fact
broken
that
broken dishwasher and refrigerator.
Yeah, but the fact that she was there and had been approved through this impact, I'm thinking that money should still be coming to you.
In theory, yes.
For the amount of time that she was there.
That is just the rent, not damages.
Well, but at least that's some cash in your pocket.
Yeah, true. It's still well over $1,000 in damages.
Wow.
I mean, you got a broken window, you got a broken dishwasher that was brand new, and then you have a... They stole the microwave. I don't know where that is. There's the refrigerator is broken.
Now on your broken
other stuff.
On your broken appliances, is it stuff that maybe an appliance repair person could fix, or is it beyond repair and it needs replaced? Can you determine it?
I could probably patch up the refrigerator. I don't know if I could get the right parts for this model or refrigerator. I'd have to look it up. This came with the house. The dishwasher, I'm pretty sure they burned out the pump. So I'm guessing cost of that part plus somebody to install it is worth more than the dishwasher itself.
And now, keep in mind, it's hard to find appliances right now. So sometimes you think, I'm just going to replace it, and then there aren't any available. I've repaired a couple because I couldn't find a replacement because there just weren't any available. So yeah, anyway, in our resource center, we've got some resources for that. So check there if you need to in your search. But yeah, these are all the issues that come with being a landlord, I'm afraid. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you, it's still the only gig I want to do. And you know, you get better as you go along. You get better choosing your tenants. You get better rehabbing. You build a team. You start to have people that they know you and you know them. And so when you call, they show up. I have a girlfriend. She complains. She's a realtor. She also is an investor. And she complains all the time. She goes, how do you get these contractors to show up? And her MO is that she always makes them wait till the first of the following month to get paid. And then kind of indignantly, she says, well, I have to wait till I get my money before I can give you your money. And they're kind of like, but we did the work, you know, like on the 5th, and now we have to wait until like a whole 30 days almost or after, you know, and they're a small business too, and they're running their trucks and paying their staff. And she said, how do you get these contractors to show up? I can't get them to show up. And I go, I pay them on time, maybe.
I'd be happy to pay them if they just showed up for an estimate or whatever. I get
it. Yep, I get it. But I now have some on my team that every time I call them, they make sure they work me in because they know that I will pay them like the day of or the very next day, even if I'm sending it out from my bill pay. If I'm in Florida, and they know that when I say the check's in the mail, they know the check is literally in the mail. And they know that even within a couple of days, they're going to get paid if I'm sending it even from my bill pay out of Florida. But anyway, the point is that I pay on a very timely fashion on purpose. And don't think that the contractors that you're using don't appreciate that and recognize that, especially when they're running close to the line, just like we are. And especially when they have a bunch of clients like my girlfriend that makes them wait to get paid.
I don't think payment's a factor in this scenario.
Yeah,
on yours, usually get to that point.
Yeah, on yours, you're not even getting them to show up at the beginning. So yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. And again, I think you're trying to, because you're trying to build a team. You're calling these folks and they haven't really worked with you before. And you haven't worked with them before, not sure that you know, you want to, but boy, it would be nice if you could make some connections there and finally start to put a team together. David and Tammy, do you guys have people? I know you have some that you're using over and over. I know I have some on my team, and I know you've got like your plumber, you've got your go-to plumber, your go-to probably roof person. Do you have a window person? David's the window person. There you go, Chris. David's the window person. No, I'm kidding.
Come on over.
Yeah, we're still assembling that team. I'd say the only, so we have a new handyman. The only specialty contractor that we've truly settled on is still the plumbing.
And lawn care.
Well, good one. Lawn care. I forget about that one. Mm-hmm. And really the only reason we've definitely settled on this plumber, that's more a result of how many plumbing problems we have.
And they always show up and they're on time and they do the job. And I find even if a couple of my folks are a little pricier, it's worth it to me to get them to show up. Yeah, and I can find them cheaper, but they wouldn't show up all the time.
Now we've called them so much that I can call and sweet talk the girl on the phone line to get her to work me into their schedule.
I get it. I get it. And you got to have that, because if you have a problem, that, you know, a plumbing issue that's an emergency, it's an emergency. Yep, I get that. If it's the same plumber that I'm using, they've even sent the owner works. Out. Yep, they've sent the owner out a time or two for me because they were just short-staffed and he said, I'm coming out.
Yep.
So they take their job very seriously.
Ian put in our hot water tank in our own house.
Yep, yep, I get it. I get it. I use them all the time as well. So, and Chris, I don't know. We're using Pipeworks out of Lancaster. I don't know if they do Columbus or not.
I called them and they said the job was too big.
Too big. Okay. Okay.
Hey, they at least answered and gave me the truth. I will take that.
Well, darn. Here, I thought we might be onto something for you. Well, so, this has been great conversation. Any final comments, David?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, while we're on the finding, and earlier we mentioned the networking. So we are with Chris and a couple other couples that we met through your group. So thank you, Kathy, have decided to start learning about commercial properties and are hoping to do a commercial deal sometime within the next 12 months.
Very nice.
The one you mentioned, I think earlier, the one that Kyle brought up.
Yes.
Came out, and that's one that over the past couple of days, we've actively been working on running the numbers and trying to figure out if it's a good deal and what we can offer is, you know, what we could reasonably make as an offer. Through the process, we've learned a lot about how much it is we don't know. So it's been a great experience. But yeah, it's exciting. And hopefully at some point we can share how, you know, we now as partners own an apartment building with you.
Okay. So this is a collaborative project where you're putting together more than one investor.
Yes. We're learning how to do that as well. So
good to know. I love it. I love that. Yes, that's wonderful. And I've looked at that as well and thought about the same thing, but I just on the face value with the numbers, I pondered if the cash flow was going to be enough on that one.
Yeah, so this particular one, definitely the it wouldn't have paid each family very much, but it would have been a wonderful learning experience. We also figure it's big enough that it's money you'll make. You know, it's enough to be noticed and small enough that if we do it all wrong, nobody's going to go bankrupt.
Correct. So I love that. I love that you're exploring that. There's just a million and one ways to make money in real estate. And I love it. Kyle, thank you for all of your time and effort in all of this. I had a private meeting with Kyle the other night. And so Kyle, you and I need to meet up again sometime soon and discuss our little venture there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing a lot more business down your way. Actually, I'm coming down tonight to show some houses in Canal.
Okay. So anyway, it's been fun. I love it. I love everything about it. And gosh, I just send out good vibes to all of you, and especially to Chris, that you can get some crews together there so that you can move on with that project and not kind of get stuck on that one. So hopefully, and again, for those of you that know Adrian, I did support him in an eviction. We went to eviction court. He, of course, won hands down. He was in front of the judge. You know, he was a little nervous. And I said, no, this is a great learning curve. And he was in front of the judge probably 5 minutes. The judge just confirmed that it was his property. He hadn't gotten paid. And yes, you can have your property back. So it was that easy. And so now he's just waiting for the red tag to go on the door and to wait 5 days for the bailiff to come out. And so that's the process. And he's going to send me the whole check sheet on how that works. And I'm going to put that in the resource center.
Nice. So that'll be good.
Yeah. If anybody gets to that point, but with Franklin County, they're very landlord friendly and it really is a pretty easy process within Franklin County. And it's even easier in Fairfield. So we're both of all of us are in, you know, a good area. If we get to that point and we do have to do an eviction, it is very landlord friendly in both counties. So good to know. All right. Any questions from anyone before we go? We ran over a little bit, but this has been great conversation. I love hearing the thought process, the thinking that goes into the deals. Any final comments or questions?
I don't think there's anything else from our end.
Nope.
Okay. Chris, how about you?
Nope. Not from my end either.
All right. Hey, if we get word on anybody, we'll send them your direction. We'll try to help you out if we can.
Yeah, find somebody anything.
Yes,
just about everything. I think the only person I can reliably lean on right now is the electrician. He's just waiting for the plumber to get done.
Okay, so plumbing is your criteria right now, is you need plumber.
That's the major one. I need a bunch of other small stuff that I kind of have lined up, but there are key things that aren't allowing those things to move forward.
And the sad part is that plumbing is not rocket science. I mean, you know, it's labor intensive. And my guess is that's just what's going on with the plumbers, is they're just booked. You know, yeah. All the people I call are just booked out.
What's that?
You tried any of the big guys, Chris? Just curious, like a Roto-Rooter or any of them? I mean, the things we typically shy away from because they're so expensive, but.
I went into that a little bit when I mentioned the major drainage issue. They're like, nope. So I think it Mr. Plumber, was it? They said, nope, that's too deep for us to touch.
Interesting. Okay.
So if you know, things don't work out, maybe, and I'll, you know, eco plumbers or
now is
people
is,
that overcharge a lot.
Let me ask you pointedly, is the problem getting the house plumbing all done, or is it that drain problem? What is the biggest issue?
Well, a little bit of both. Both. Answers both. I mean, the house, because they're not showing up.
Okay.
And I could probably get a plumber out there. Right now, I'm probably siding on maybe trying to do what Tammy and David do and jet out that main line and see how that goes and maybe fix that down the road. I don't know how severe enough it is. I mean, it's pretty severe, but I don't know, you know, will it allow me to get through a year and jet it out once a year? Or do I have to suck it up at a later point in time and get some very high expensive people to just do that piece of the work?
Well, I have an underground guy that did my Canal Winchester office building. The city had cut us loose from the city sewer accidentally when they repaved the street and never reconnected us, and we didn't know it. So of course it all backed up, and then they said, okay, well, because we've repaved the street, we don't want you digging up the street because we just did it, so we're going to reroute you to tie in at another spot. And so they said, we have a guy that does all our underground work, we're going to send him over. And he was a fraction of the cost of everybody else that I talked to. And so I will at least text that over to you, Chris.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Will he do housework?
As far as plumbing?
Yeah.
No, he just does big underground.
Okay.
It's the problem you have that you're trying to avoid, that whole underground plumbing thing. And he was the cheapest of every, because you know, we weren't in the market to sell our building, because I was still had a salon there and I was still working full time in the salon, and we just needed to get all of the underground sewer connected. And he dug it all out, laid the whole line, connected it. He did all of it. And it was, I think, about half of what everybody else was quoting.
Okay. I'll take that. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I'll at least send his information over. I don't know how far he goes, but you're at least it's worth a look.
Thank you, Kathy.
But as far as just a plumber to do the indoor plumbing, you would think that your project would be the perfect size. Big enough that it's big enough. A whole house, but yet small enough that it's not, you know, if you did somebody else to do the underground, you'd think it'd be the perfect size for a plumber.
Unfortunately, they're not telling me why they're bailing on me.
And the walls are already open. That's the easy part.
Yep. It's plumbing's demoed. Everything is ready for plumbing to start.
Interesting. All right, let me work on that for you. Okay. Kyle, any last words of wisdom?
No, we're all good over here. Sorry, my phone's about to die.
Uh-oh, I get it. Kyle, I know you're busy tonight, but touch base when you get a chance. And with that, we will see everyone next time.
Thank you, Kathy.
Awesome.
All right.
See you guys.
Thank you, guys. Bye.